Chapter 1. The Lord Loveth a Cheerful Giver. Sanitarium, California. March 8, 1907. I address the members of all our churches. We are living in a special period of this earth's history. A great work must be done in a very short time, and every Christian is to act a part in sustaining this work. God is calling for men who will consecrate themselves to the work of soul saving. Those who desire to be regarded by God as liberal should devote mind and heart, the entire being, to His service. When we begin to comprehend what a sacrifice Christ made in order to save a perishing world, there will be seen a mighty wrestling to save souls. Oh, that all our churches might see and realize the infinite sacrifice of Christ. Recently, in visions during the night season, a representation passed before me. Among God's people, there seemed to be a great reformatory movement. Many were praising God. The sick were healed, and other miracles were wrought. A spirit of intercession was seen, even as was manifested before the great day of Pentecost. Hundreds and thousands were seen visiting families and opening before them the Word of God. Hearts were convicted by the power of the Holy Spirit, and a spirit of genuine conversion was manifest. On every side, doors were thrown open to the proclamation of the truth. The world seemed to be lightened with a heavenly influence. Great blessings were received by the true and humble people of God. I heard voices of thanksgiving and praise, and there seemed to be a reformation such as we witnessed in 1844. Yet some refused to be converted. They were not willing to walk in God's way. And when, in order that the work of God might be advanced, calls were made for liberal free will offerings, some clung selfishly to their earthly possessions. These covetous ones became separated from the company of believers. As a people, we have been benumbed. Matters of but little importance have been brought in to absorb much means and precious talent. There are some whose hearts are responsive to the calls of God, but some are investing capital in enterprises that give no results in the salvation of souls. Such enterprises are snares of the enemy. The great enemy of souls would be pleased if we were kept busy with things of but little importance and lose our present opportunities for labor. We need now to awake out of sleep and to labor earnestly to warn those in the highways and in the byways. Soon the work will be finished, and now is our time to labor with intense energy and untiring industry. The judgments of God are in the earth, and, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, we must give the message of warning that He has entrusted to us. We must give this message quickly, line upon line, precept upon precept. Men will soon be forced to great decisions, and it is our duty to see that they are given an opportunity to understand the truth, that they may take their stand intelligently on the right side. The Lord calls upon His people to labor, labor earnestly and wisely, while probation lingers. Among the members of our churches, there should be more house-to-house labor in giving Bible readings and in distributing literature. A Christian character can be symmetrically and completely formed only when the human agent regards it as a privilege to work interestedly in the proclamation of the truth and to sustain the cause of God with means. The treasury must not be allowed to become empty when there are such urgent calls for help from every part of the world. Every church member should cherish the spirit of sacrifice. In every home there should be taught lessons of self-denial. Fathers and mothers, teach your children to economize. Encourage them to save their pennies for missionary work. Christ is our example. For our sake He became poor, that we through His poverty might be made rich. He taught that all His followers should unite in love and unity to work as He worked, to sacrifice as He sacrificed, to partake of His sufferings, that they may be partakers of His glory. The Lord now calls upon the members of the Seventh-day Adventist Church in every locality to consecrate themselves to Him and to do their very best, according to their circumstances, to assist in His work. By their liberality in making gifts and offerings, He desires them to reveal their appreciation of His blessings and their gratitude for His mercy. My dear brethren and sisters, all the money we have is the Lord's. I now appeal to you, in the name of the Lord, to unite in carrying to successful completion enterprises that have been undertaken in the counsel of God and that are waiting for their portion of the $150,000 fund which has been called for by the General Conference Committee.
Let not the work on the Nashville Sanitarium and the Tacoma Park Sanitarium be hindered for lack of means. Let not the work of rebuilding at Huntsville be made difficult and burdensome because the necessary means is withheld. Let not those who are struggling to build up the other enterprises, great and small, that are needing the promised aid, become disheartened because we are slow to unite in making up the fund that is asked for. Let all our people arise and see what they can do. Let them show that there is unity and strength among Seventh-day Adventists. In the providence of God, some may gather more wealth than do others. The Lord blesses them with health, with tact and skill, that they may receive of His goods and bestow upon others. The possession of means brings a test of character. All have a responsibility according to that which they have received, and from those who possess wealth, the Lord looks for bountiful gifts. To those who desire to be baptized with the Holy Ghost, I would say, take up the work of God where you are, and with your gifts help the work in places nigh and afar off. My dear brethren and sisters, let us every one make a covenant with God by sincere self-denial and self-sacrifice, that we may help in extending the truth to many places. The Lord will certainly bless all who do His will without murmuring or complaining.